AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, could it be that using AI would actually make us less smart? I'm joined by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Very useful tool, but...
Yeah, there's more evidence now, Pat. Amazingly, students get lazy, I suppose. You know, they use AI a lot more. And the question is, does that affect their thinking capacity?
How did they test it? And who did it?
But it's MIT. Now, we love MIT. There's a famous university in America. They did a massive study of students writing essays, either using AI or not, right?
Yeah.
And they scanned their brains. Very clever sort of analysis.
So it wasn't just what they wrote.
No, it wasn't just how do you feel or whatever. So they scanned the brains. And it's obvious, the ones using AI, less neuronal activity, especially in the parts of their brain to do with creativity and attention. Now, this is a bit obvious in a way, isn't it? If you're writing an essay partly using ChatGPT, you might be using your brain less, but this is hard evidence for this now. So what that means is the act of writing an essay is less demanding, less sort of involving your critical thinking.
Now, you might think, so what? But if you write a thesis and then you have to go in for your doctoral thesis or your master thesis and go in to defend it against a panel... You may not be able to recall.
You may not defend it. And in fact, they asked the students to quote from their own essays. You know what I mean? Yeah. And the ones who don't use the ChatGPT, they couldn't remember what they'd written either, by the way.
Because they didn't really
write it.
They
didn't really write it themselves. Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point, though. Yeah, if you're losing critical thinking capacity, there may be situations where you need to think critically and you won't be able to as much, is the concern.
Now, what about people who routinely use AI in their work?
Yeah, another study, but three studies this week have come out, actually. One big study on this, it was 319 people, 900 tasks were measured, actually, and they watched them using AI or not. And yet again, the ones using the AI were less capable and the things they were doing were less effective is what they found. They also found, Pat, that they were often doing mindless tasks anyway, whatever that might be, and then using AI to help them. That may be a good thing. But the trouble is, 2/3 of the tasks needed critical thinking. And again, if they use AI for those, they were less able to sort of work their way through the problem. And that was more hard evidence that using AI wasn't
so
the most efficient.
So the kind of thing like busy work, per se, that's only busy work. It doesn't really require any great analysis.
Yeah.
Get AI to do that.
Yeah.
But the problem is that you still have to, even when you're doing busy work, your mind is often going maybe on other things while you're doing it.
It could be, exactly. This has been going on for a long time. People have worried about these kinds of things, you know. And even Socrates said handwriting was bad because you weren't really thinking properly when you were writing things down, you know. So for a long time, people have worried about new innovations coming along. And going for me, when I began my PhD, you go to the library, you'd read a journal, and you'd photocopy it, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't actually write notes.
So that was another innovation that they said would destroy them.
Well, my supervisor, don't do that. In my day, he would say, we go to the library, we'd read something and make notes about it. All you've done is photocopy it and not read it, right? So, and in fact, at that time, a PhD might have stood for doctorate in photocopying. Because all we're doing is photocopying stuff. You know? So again, the criticism was, you're not using your brain here, you know, in the way you should be with the idea.
Now, there was a third study. What was that?
There was, this is a good one. 666 people in the UK were analysed. And again, they used AI. And again, when they tested them afterwards for critical thinking skills, like problem solving, they did less well. The ones who were using AI in the workplace then were tested for critical thinking, and there was evidence they were less able to think critically. And the idea there is their brains have got a bit flabby, kind of, you know, through using too much AI. And this is hardcore evidence now. Now, cause it doesn't matter in the short term, Pat, they say, because it's just to be a short-term gain. But long-term, they'll be less able to think critically. And then they worry about competitiveness in the workplace. If your workers are using AI all the time, you may not compete against a company that isn't using as much AI as one thing they're talking about.
Now, what is cognitive offloading?
Isn't that a great phrase? Yeah. Great. Now, educationalists have used that for a long time. If you make a shopping list, you're offloading your cognition into the list and not remembering what you want to shop. This has been going on for a long time, this idea. A calculator, that's cognitive offloading. You're not doing mental arithmetic.
Yeah.
You're putting the numbers in or a navigation app. That's another one, you know. Now, the thing is, the question is, does it harm us? And they don't, really. The invention of calculators hasn't exactly destroyed civilization, has it?
But people who depend on maps, for example, to walk the city streets, first of all, they're looking at their phone, not looking around them. People sometimes don't even know where to find a street name now.
Yeah. That's right.
Because they've never actually had to use them.
And you can imagine if they were doing that, that's keeping their brain agile. So the brains are being used very lazily. Now, the big worry here is this is offloading writ large, you know.
So complex processes.
Very complex things. You're offloading into ChatGPT. And it's to try to solve things or find information. It's like Google again. It's sort of enhanced Google, I suppose. So again, that's where the concern is now. Even though things like calculators didn't really affect civilization, the worry would be using AI might, because we'll get less and less able to think critically, is the idea.
So the impact of this on large cohorts of the population, will they be more productive because they're using AI to help them? More creative because they have more headspace, if you like, for other things rather than the routine? What's the verdict?
Yeah, so sometimes, that's right, Pat. The initial suspicion is it's going to be, as ever, it's going to be harmful in education. So let's try to avoid it. On the other hand, there will be benefits, obviously, as well. Now, the real concern, Pat, is problem-solving skills will get less evident in people. And we need to be problem solvers. And that's the real concern here. If we can't solve immediate problems, that could threaten us. So that's watching that one.
Now, you have a very interesting example where people were asked to, the 460 participants asked to propose an imaginative use for an everyday item.
This is great. Now, again, you've got to be careful. It sounds a bit strange, this. So they tried to test creativity. How do you test creativity in someone is the problem here, really, because it's a bit subjective. But they asked them to write a little essay about using trousers. It sounds a bit strange, right? The ones who were less creative would keep using the trousers for different things. So, for example, make a scarecrow, you know, and put straw in it, right? The creative ones would say, no, we'll put nuts in the pockets and it'll feed birds. So they were repurposing the trousers. Now, given a really high score for creativity, because you're using trousers in a very creative way. The other one was a bit dull, you know. Now, guess what, Pat? The ones using AI all the time were less creative. They were able to show that when they were given that task after, they were less likely to come up with some kind of creative thing.
If you're instructed by your employer, whatever, to use AI, or you find it convenient for some of that busy work, and you've got this brain that's getting a bit flabby, what do you do?
Well, the other thing is that 47% have said they will use AI even if their bosses say don't. Right? And this is human laziness or whatever you might call it. So they're worried now. What would you do about this? So what they're talking about now is a different way of using AI as an assistant. They're calling it a provocation. Yeah. So for example, if you say, I want to go on holidays to a place that's sunny, it won't answer you. You'd have to ask them, where does it rain less? And then you're using your kind of, it won't say go to France. It'll just say wherever the rain is less. And then you might begin to figure out where to go instead. You know, in other words, they may be coming up with ways to make AI make your work a bit, I suppose, is the idea. And again, it's about regulation, because if this continues, the regulators might get involved and then begin to sort of modify the whole AI thing, is the idea there.
So the whole idea is to try, when you're too dependent on AI, to find other ways in which you force the brain to work.
Exactly. You make the brain do the hard work, like all good education, Pat. You make the pupil work, don't you? You know, and that's the important thing.
Is that why we forget words easily? It's due to predictive texts?
Absolutely. This is a very good question, actually. Precisely. There's some evidence for this, again, that you won't be able to remember an actor's name that you otherwise have remembered, because your brain has got a bit less active, you know. And that's a concern, isn't it, that we can't remember
things? Writing code is a primary example. It's very hard not to just use AI to keep making alterations, even though AI can provide fairly verbose code times and may not come up with efficiencies like a human would, never mind the errors that it introduces. That's from Martin. And another one quotes Geoffrey Hinton, who tells us that AI is an existential threat to us all. This is from John in Limerick, and he is a British-Canadian computer scientist, cognitive scientist, and cognitive psychologist. This is Hinton.
But Hinton won the Nobel Prize this year, remember, for his work on AI. Neural networks was his thing. And he says something very interesting, Pat. He says, how do we make sure it doesn't kill us all?
Yeah.
You've got to convince it to make it think that we're its babies. Isn't that a strange idea? So the AI becomes like a mother. Yes, right. And it has an interest in keeping us alive. Isn't that very strange? Mm-hmm. You know. And this is Hinton's big idea at the moment. You've got to build in algorithms to make it think like it's our parent. Right?
You may have seen that case in the United States where a father's taking action against one of the companies because his son committed suicide. and was encouraged to do so by the bot.
That is the problem. Whereas if the AI bot thinks it's your parent, right, it'll help us, it'll support us in various ways. Now, this is Hinton. I'm not quite sure how you build it into it. But at the moment, what people like Google are doing is putting these safeguards in, hopefully. And if the AI system is making you work harder, that'll be a good thing for our cognitive skills of the idea.
Oh, brave new world.
Brave new world indeed.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, thank you very much. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.